And as we closed with John 3 last week, I didn't get too far in that chat, in that passage, which is after he gets done addressing Nicodemus, he goes out into the land surrounding Jerusalem, which is Judea. And historically speaking, the area of Palestine that stayed with God the longest. Because Israel went early on and stayed gone early on. But he goes to this area surrounding Jerusalem, and it says, and after these things, verse 22, came Jesus and his disciples into the land of Judea, and there he tarried with them and baptized. And John also was baptizing in Aon near to Salim, because there was much water there, and they came and were baptized. Jesus and John are both working in ministry in concert with each other. Unified, preaching the same message. Okay? They're not preaching different messages. Jesus is preaching the message that John preached. Only John explains to us where Jesus is the superior preacher. He does. And he does that in this chapter. Because if you look at this, this is the last mention of John the Baptist in the Gospel of John. This is his last testimony, so to speak, in this Gospel. This is the last time we hear from him in the book of Believe. And it's interesting that the last thing he says in the book of Believe, John the Baptist says, John the Baptizer. Not that Baptist, okay? Not that Baptist. He wasn't a Baptist. He was a baptizer, all right? He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. That's the last words of John the Baptist in the Gospel of John. That's a wonderful legacy to leave behind in this Gospel. That's not the only thing we hear from John. Because John was made of what? No, let me put it this way. John was born of the seed of a man. Okay? Although they're unified, although they're preaching the same message, one is clearly superior. Not that the truth is any different that either one are preaching, but one is clearly superior. One is of the seed of the woman. One is of the seed of a man. And the one with the seed of a man, I'd say put his pants on the same way we do, gentlemen, but they were using robes back then. He's us, but he was special. Don't for one second, because what did Jesus say about John? There is no man born of women who is greater than him. Wow. That wasn't said about Paul. It wasn't. There's so much to John's ministry that we weren't given. He preached to the entire, I believe, the entire Jewish population. And he cried the same cry of Jonah. Repent. To religious people? I'm going to tell you something. We need to be in a constant attitude of repentance. If we're not, we've arrived. And if we've arrived, we're in spiritual trouble. Constant attitude of repentance. Not repentance unto salvation, but even after salvation, we should be in a constant attitude of repentance. Verse 24 is important chronologically. For John was not yet cast into prison. There was a period of time there where their ministries were joined together, even though they were separated by north and south. Most of Jesus' ministry was in Galilee, but at this point in time, he's in the south and John's in the north, up near Galilee. Then there arose a question between some of John's disciples and the Jews about purifying. Notice they didn't come to John about this question of purifying. It started with John's disciples. Why? Because the Jews were trying to cause division. Divide and conquer. Man, if you can divide an army, yes. The more you divide them up, the more you split up those units and they can't concentrate and unify their fire, you're going to win that battle. The Jews weren't stupid. The Pharisees weren't stupid. Neither were the scribes or the Sadducees. Divide and conquer. So first they tried to divide John's disciples from John. And then they try and divide John from who? Jesus. And as you read this passage here, and we'll get to that. I'm jumping ahead of myself. My brain is already halfway through my notes. It's just the way it works. It's the way my head works. For John was not yet cast into prison. And then there arose a question between some of John's disciples and the Jews about purifying. And they came to John and said unto him, and here's the thing. They came to John when they were arguing with his disciples amongst themselves, trying to cause divisions among his disciples. But they didn't ask him the question about purifying because I think they know the answer they would have gotten. So they go another route here. Rabbi, always pump somebody up before you try and get something out of them. Give them that title. See if you can. Because at the root of division is what? Starts with the letter P. Pride. So first I'm going to appeal to John's pride, call him a rabbi, see if I can stir a little bit up in him, and then we'll go for the throat. He that was with thee beyond Jordan, well, they didn't even have the respect or the honor to call Jesus Jesus or teacher or rabbi, as Nicodemus called him. He that was with thee beyond Jordan, to whom thou bearest witness, behold, the same baptizeth, and all men come to him. He was trying
to cause division through
numbers.
Numbers.
Man, if there's something that's divided more Baptists today, we won't even go outside the walls of our, I hate to call it denomination, but it's numbers. 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 Who's got more numbers? I have preached to 2, 3, 1.
And I did the same service with 1 that I'm doing today. Was 60 or 70.
Numbers shouldn't matter. Because I'm going to be honest with you. They don't matter to God. You say, yes, they do.
God doesn't wish for any to perish, but that all should come to repentance. But God knows.
There's the difference. John answered and said, now, here's what he does. He is now answering
an attack from who? If you think this is the Pharisees, you got another thing coming. Because at the root of any Pharisaical attack, it is who? It is the one who tempted Jesus for 40 straight days in the desert. Non-stop.
and the attacks that came even after the desert, I believe, were nonstop. And they came from the religious crowd. And they attacked him here, and here is how he answers the attackers. He answers the attackers first in, and I have five things here, how he answers the attackers. First, in verse 27, John answered and said, now these are first words after Satan attacks. Don't you think what he's about to say is of utmost importance? This is a man that the Bible says, no other man born of woman is greater than this man. So I'm going to put some stock in what he says, because he's walking with God. Okay? So I'm going to put some stock in what he says here to these guys. I'm going to go to school on this, what he says here. And what does he say? John answered and said, a man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven. A man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven. What does John remember? He remembers where he came from. He came from the seed of a man, just like all of us. He came from the seed of Adam. And he recognizes that if he is anything, anything, there are so many men today that boast in the fact that they are a self-made man. Yes, sir. And I contend that even the lost were given mercy and grace by God to get to where they are, whether they want to recognize it or not. And if you're here today, you are what you are by the grace and mercy of Almighty God and nothing else. If you're here for any other reason, we need to talk. John answered and said, a man can receive nothing except it be given him of heaven. He elevates heaven. He elevates God and puts himself as truly what he is, a son of Adam. Also in this verse, what he does is he submits to the will of God. John answered and said, a man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven. He realizes that heaven is what is in control. It is the will of God that controls his life if he's walking with God. And you know what? I honestly believe that if we are to combat the attacks of Satan that are going to come to us here in our church, we don't know what 2023 holds. We don't know what 2023 holds. I can tell you what it holds. If we preach truth, it holds exactly what's here. Because Satan has never changed his battle plan. Why? It works. And he knows that. He can't take any of you who are saved to hell. But he can destroy our testimony. He can take away our effectiveness. He can disarm us even though he can't have us. He can do that through his attacks if we allow him. But what John says here is this. He says, I'm going to submit to God's will. Whatever comes from heaven, that's what I'm going to do. And that's what I'm going to say. And he was standing there the day that God said, this is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased. He was standing there that day. He knew who the Son of God is. And he knew who he, John's still around, I'll say is, was when he was on this earth. The second thing he does, verse 28, ye yourselves bear me witness that I said. Notice what he's saying here. He's taking them back to John chapter 1. Just flip back one page. John chapter 1 and verse 28. Actually, go back a little bit. Go back to verse 19. And this is the record of John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, who art thou? And he confessed and denied not. See, this is also an attack. It's a way to try and get John to elevate himself. Because all Jerusalem was going out to hear him. And they didn't like that. Because it's competition. And he confessed and denied not, but confessed, I am not the Christ. And they asked him, what then? Art thou Elias? And he said, I am not. Art thou that prophet? And he said, no. Then said they unto him, who art thou? That we may give an answer to them that sent us. What sayest thou of thyself? And he said, simply, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Isaiah. And they which were sent of the Pharisees, and they asked him and said unto him, why baptizest thou then, if thou be not that Christ, nor Elias, neither that prophet? And John answered, saying, I baptize but there with water, but there standeth one among you whom ye know not. He it is who cometh after me, who is preferred before me. And right here, what does he do? He humbles himself. A man who everybody in Jerusalem was going out to hear. How many of the big boys out there today in American evangelism and churches in the big, and I'll keep it with us, in the big Baptist churches, would say this, whose shoe latchet I am not worthy to unloose. Pride to get us all. And he reminds them of that. And he reminds them of what he said. I am not the Christ, but that I am sent before him. Then he declares that Israel belonged to Christ, not him. Look at verse 29. Now, do not put the church in these verses. Do not put the church in these verses. We are not talking about the bride here. We are talking about the bridegroom and the friend of the bridegroom, because that is the subject of the conversation that is taking place here right now. And you cannot read back the bride into right here in chronological biblical history. So don't do it. Look at the two things that are being talked about in the context. What is that? John and Christ. We ain't talking about the bride. We're talking about these two, John and Christ. He that hath the bride is the bridegroom. Concentrate on the bridegroom and the friend of the bridegroom, the friend of the bridegroom in this. He that hath the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom, which standeth heareth him, rejoiceth greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. This is my joy, therefore, is fulfilled. He must increase, but I must decrease. His joy here is in seeing that men turn to Christ. Not himself. Not himself. It's easy to want to amass a group of people to follow you because it makes you feel good. But any true man of God should be pointing you and me to Him. To Him. And here He drives that point home. It says, but the friend of the bridegroom which standeth and heareth him rejoiceth greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. Here's His voice. Right here in my hands. Right here in my hands. Here's His voice. I rejoice in His voice. Not mine. You're going to hear it through mine. But it better be this. And too many men, particularly in America, are departing this. I'm not going to teach you how to live a purpose-filled life. I'm going to teach you, thus saith the Lord. Because it's His voice that matters. Not mine. Not humanism. Not my opinions or my philosophy. All that matters is Him. And in order to break division, our focus must be on Him. If we are going to withstand the attacks of the devil in 2023, our focus cannot be on ourselves. It cannot be on this church. It has to be on Jesus Christ the righteous. And if we keep our focus there, if we point there, if we say it's all about Him, it's not about me, we'll beat them back. We'll beat those attacks back. It's all about His Word. It's all about the living Word of God, which we have before us. It's about thus saith the Lord. It's about walking with God, which we've been talking about every Wednesday night. That's what quells the arrows of division that fly in from the enemy. In verse 30, he gives the divine order for his ministry. And this study that I've been doing on this was really, I hope it helps you, but I'll be honest with you. You know where it's directed? Who did they come after? Who did they come after that day? His disciples? Yes, they came after them with the washing of the pots and the stuff. But who did they come after? He can tell you about all the attacks over 45 years. And let me tell you something. I've been in ministry since 2003. And I can tell you about some attacks. I can tell you where a Catholic nun in Tuktoyaktuk smeared me to the entire community. But you know who delivered me? God did. God did. That's right. He's the one that delivered me. The divine order for ministry is this. He must increase. I must decrease. Let me take it out of the pulpit and put it in the pew. You must look at Brother Mike and say, he must increase, I must decrease. You must look at Brother Tracy and say, he must increase, I must decrease. And you know what? We'll never fight with each other over anything. Ultimately, putting who at the top? Jesus Christ the righteous. And we won't have any problems. We won't have any problems. We will fight through the bullets that are coming in. Because they're going to come in.
They're going to come in.
The devil knows his time is short.
And if he was doing this then, what must he be doing now?
What must he be doing now? Let's read the rest of the chapter. I'm going to try and get this done. Again, this is to help us with attacks of division. This is to help us keep your focus on the P word, pride. Okay? Because I believe that is our battle. That is our battle. He that cometh from above is above all. He that is of the earth is earthly and speaketh of the earth. He that cometh from heaven is above all. And what he hath seen and heard, that he testifieth, and no man receiveth his testimony. Notice the last part of that verse. Who's he talking about? He's talking to the Pharisees about Jesus Christ. And even though multitudes are following him.
Remember what I said about following? Are you following or are you following?
They're following him,
but they are not receiving his testimony. Why? Because they want it on their terms. They want it on their terms.
And at the end, there's probably only five people standing at the foot of that cross. The apostles aren't even there except for John.
I believe it was a couple of women, John, Joseph of Arimathea,
and Nicodemus. Now, I can't give you a Bible verse for Nicodemus being there, but I think he was. Because he wrapped the body of Christ. I think he was.
In this last part of the chapter, and I'll go over them quickly. There are seven things that John does. All of this that he does is to stop or stomp on what the Pharisees have tried to do right here. Okay? We're not going forward. We're not going back. We're just going to look at this. Number one, he could get nothing but what was given him from God. And we saw that back in verse 27. Versus Christ, and this is a contrast between him and Christ. He lays out a contrast between him and Jesus Christ. Personally, he could get nothing but what was given him from God. I'm not Jesus.
The only thing I can give you is what I'm given. Honestly, the only thing I want to give you is what I'm given. If I give you what I'm not given by God, I could be really messing up. I could be really messing up.
And that I don't want. However, if we stick to the living word of God, Christ has been given all things, and we're given all things right here. So really, what is the key to it? The key to it is this. Do I stick to this book or don't I? Do you stick to this book or don't you? Because in England, right now, there are verses in this Bible that are hate speech. And that is a fact, not a rumor, not a conspiracy theory. They have considered things said in this Bible as hate speech. The big question is this. Am I willing to stick with this? And are you? If we're willing to stick with this, we have no qualms about fighting the attacks of Satan. None whatsoever. Because the Lion of Judah is on our side. Number two,
In verse 28, he says, and these are seven things where he lays out a contrast between himself and Jesus. Jesus is the Christ. Look at verse 28. Ye yourself bear me witness that I said, I am not the Christ, but that I am sent before him. He right here is declaring that Jesus is the Christ. John was only the one sent before him. Here he lowers his position as a sent messenger to prepare the way before the one who would make new and make alive. John can't make new or make alive. He can simply prepare the hearts. It is Jesus who will make new and make alive. In verse 29, we see that Christ there is the bridegroom. This is a contrast between John and Christ. Christ is the bridegroom versus the friend of the bridegroom. I'll tell you right now, you go to a wedding, there ain't much fuss over the best man other than he's the best man. That's it. You're just the best man. There ain't a whole lot of fussing over you. There's not supposed to be a bunch of fussing over the best man. The best man's job is to make sure you fuss over the bridegroom. That's his job. That's his job. His job is to make you fuss over the bridegroom, to bring honor to the bridegroom, to make sure that the bridegroom gets whatever he asks for. What's he going to ask from us in 2023? What is the bridegroom going to turn to us, the friend of the bride? What is he going to do when he turns to us and says, I need this from you? And we say, you want that? You want that? I'm taking this from you. What if he takes your health? You say, God won't do that. And I can take you to Bible passages where he did, can I? What if he takes it? Are you willing to honor him? Are you willing to say, whatever makes you happy, Lord, whatever glorifies you, take it? Let's go one further. What if he takes our finances? He may take all our finances here before too long. The government may dig into this church, boy. We lose our tax-exempt status, get ready, because the IRS is coming with 85,000 agents who are all armed. Might be having meetings in your homes. I might have to be a circuit rider and travel to about four or five homes where we can gather in small groups. You'll still be assembled. I don't know. But if he takes it, am I willing to say, whatever makes you happy, whatever honors you, whatever brings you glory? John the Baptist was willing to do that. He was willing to do that. Number 4, verse 30. He must increase, I must decrease. If Christ increases in our lives, we will decrease, but not in a bad way. We seem to think that decreasing is always bad. Let me tell you something. If me decreases, that ain't bad. Because you all don't know me like me knows me. And I don't know you like you know you. But decreasing is not bad as a Christian. Decreasing is good. It is a good way. As we decrease, because what is the attack here? Division. As we decrease, just like what I used with the example here, there won't be a fight. There will never be a fight. There will never be division. We will never have that problem. You show me a church full of division, and I'll show you a church like Corinth that's full of pride. Puffed up. Paul said, yeah, you have knowledge.
But you have knowledge and you don't know what you're talking about.
Number 5, verse 31. He that cometh from above is above all. He that is of the earth is earthly. And you say, I'm not earthly, I'm saved, I'm sanctified. You still have an old nature, and so do I. And it is connected to that dirt right out there. Trust me.
And when you least expect it, it will rear its ugly head and bite everything around it. I didn't say bite me. I'm not going to bite myself. If I'm going to bite something, I'm going to bite you.
You're not going to bite yourself. Who bites themselves? Little kids that are addled. You'll see that every now and then. Quit biting yourself.
Just they want to see those marks on their hand. Look at that, Mommy, my teeth.
I don't do that now. I don't like pain. And I don't want to see those marks. I'm not biting myself. If I'm going to bite something, I'm going to bite one of you. See, that's what the word back is.
Guilty. Guilty.
A part of my past that I still struggle with. The king of the comeback. And I still do it.
And for those of you I've done it to, God forgive me and please forgive me. Because I have. I'm sure of it. Because that old nature's still there. Because I'm of the earth, just like John the Baptist.
John was of the earth, but Jesus came from above all and is above all. And if I just realize that, if I just walk with God, if I just focus on Him, if I try to be a Christian, Christ-like, I won't do that. And we won't have a problem. Number 6.
And what he hath seen and heard, that he testified, and no man receiveth his testimony. He that received his testimony hath set to his seal that God is true. For he whom God hath sent speaketh the words of God. For God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him.
Listen. We have the Holy Spirit. This is before the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. I have God dwelling inside of me. But that old nature's still there, isn't it? And as much as I say, and as much as Paul even says, be ye filled with the Spirit, I cannot deny the fact that until I get my new mind and my new heart, that old nature will be there.
I will struggle with this.
Jesus never had to struggle with this.
And number 7. Verse 35. The Father loveth the Son and hath given all things into his hands. And if you go back in the context and you look at the bridegroom and the friend of the bride, and you look at this, the Father loveth the Son. John didn't say anything about himself here. And he says, and hath given all things unto his hand. John was a true servant. Yes. Jesus is the Son of God. When we take the servant's attitude towards our life,
it will change our attitude towards everything. If we take Jesus' attitude during his life on this earth and apply it to our heart and our life, we will never have to worry about division.
because I won't have a problem with washing your feet, and you won't have a problem with washing mine. Now, I'm not going to start foot washing now, all right? Don't worry about that. I'm using it as a spiritual example, okay? But, I mean, think about it. What if we did? What if we did? What if I got up here this morning, took my shoes and socks off, because you ain't washing my socks, and we washed each other's feet? How many would say, I ain't doing that? I ain't doing that. Maybe we should do it. See, it all goes to where I am with my pride.
I ain't washing his feet. I'm not washing Nathan's feet.
We'll shake each other's hand, but we won't wash each other's feet. Because a handshake's a greeting. A foot washing's a service. Oh, I'll shake your hand. But at the end of the day, if I'm servicing anybody, it's me.
And John said, no, no. Last words of John. Attacking, John is attacking division through the superiority of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Stand with your heads bowed and your eyes closed.